everyone. This is Push My Buttons Podcast. I am your host, Dungeon Master Mike, the guy with a tabletop RPG name on a video game podcast. I'm just getting over being sick right now, so you'll have to forgive the nasally voice or the weird guttural voice, but I am joined with someone who has a much smoother voice of honey.
Smooth like honey, huh?
Yes.
This is Captain. It's Captain Platinum.
What's up, buddy?
Just drinking some Woodford and hanging out with you.
I'm just drinking some water because I'm actually getting ready to fly to Utah on Sunday.
Where the heck is Utah?
I don't know, dude. Some place out in the boonies.
I didn't know you were coming to Utah on Sunday.
You know, consider this your announcement. So yeah, I'm coming to Utah on Sunday, which is September 26th. By the time this episode comes out, I'll probably already be gone. By the time the last episode comes out, I will probably already be gone because I just remembered I have not posted that yet. That was my fault. So we won't log off until I post both episodes. But yeah, so I'm coming this Sunday. It is my birthday celebration. My birthday is October 6th, but I will be down in Utah from the 26th to the 30th, where I will get some work done on my tattoo, and I'd like to record a podcast in person, and not do this digitally across, you know, the country.
Right.
But it will depend on how Luke and Panda Pat are feeling, because they got con crud without being at the con.
How?
That's what he said in the message. I suspect that he hung out with people who were exposed to con and were just carriers of it, and he got sick from them.
Yeah. I'm con crud free at this point, so as far as I know, I never got anything, so
that is good to know. Panda Pat is recovering from COVID. I know that was the case a couple weeks ago, and COVID generally runs its course by now, although she may be feeling some residual effects. So, Panda Pat, I hope you feel better.
Oh, I didn't know she got it again. She had it like 3 months ago or so,
Oh,
right?
Maybe I'm just getting that mixed up.
She had the sniffles.
Maybe I'm just thinking in terms of episode numbers. So I hope you both feel better. I will definitely see you. I owe Luke a copy of Yakuza 0, which I will bring. So, because 3 years ago, he loaned me Yakuza 0, which put me on my golden path, my pilgrimage, my favorite series. So, it says a lot. So,
I was going to say, it's funny. I didn't finish that, but that was our game of the month. Was that last?
That was October, yeah. That was the last game of the month, I think.
Yeah, yep.
Because that I chose a game that was slightly too long. and it was funny, too, because I remember that game feeling like it was short. And so I was like, oh, it's like 20 hours. And then your colleague... your work buddy was like, no, that's a long game. That's like 30, mm-hmm. 40 hours.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, geez, sorry. So that, we can blame that on me. But yeah, I have to return Yakuza 0 to Luke. I'm also getting work done on my tattoo, which I haven't done in like a year and a half. So funny story, last year, like summertime, I sent my tattoo artist, who is in Salt Lake City, text, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna plan on coming down to get some work done on the tattoo. And he was like, oh yeah, when are you coming down? And I was like, I'm thinking around September 22nd. This was last year, but I continued the conversation over Instagram for some reason. And so when I went to go text him and say, hey, I actually will be down this time, the last text I had sent him was saying, yeah, I'm thinking about coming down September 22nd. So almost to the year.
That's impressive.
Almost to the day, I am finally getting some more work done on my giant back tattoo, and it's been the same way for a while, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it looking the same. I want to add to it. I'm trying to finish it up. So I'm hoping to get a nice big long session in there, and then I will squeal in pain for the rest of the week. But yeah, that I am coming down for a little less than a week. But then after that, I'm going to visit my parents in LA. So I'm going to be gone for like 2 weeks, week and a half.
Yeah, that'll be a fun trip for you then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So it will be a fantastic blast. But yeah, what's been going on with you?
Let's see. Just been busy with every weekend for like a few weeks. We did a concert at the aquarium 2 weekends ago. So that required me on Friday night to help set up the stage and the lights and the sound and cameras and everything. So we were there from like 6 to midnight. Then I was back there at 7 a.m. We were there till about 11 in the morning, and then finishing some setup, doing some sound checks, and then back there about 5:30. And then, you know, people started showing up at 6, showing on at 8, wrapped up about 9:30, and then tear down and out by midnight. So that was a awesome and exhausting weekend. Oh, and then we had a memorial service for our pastor's father-in-law who passed away at the end of August from COVID. Ooh, so.
Sorry to him. Offering condolences.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, it was good to see everybody, you know, and just have the memories and do all that stuff that weekend. And then last weekend was Fan X, so last weekend was busy too. That was Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I don't know if Blake Castleman listens to this podcast. He is friends with Luke and I. I worked with him a few times when I ran the tabletop section at FanX, but in case he is listening, Blake, I hope you survived, because every time that I worked over there, it was brutal, but always fun. So, hey, what's up, FanX? Hope everyone enjoyed it. I don't know if you guys are aware, but like some pictures of FanX made the rounds on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
There is a picture. I understand the hard position that is conventions right now. I know a lot of people that are on the complete, like, doing cons is a mistake, going to cons are a mistake, and like I understand that point of view, and I understand the point of view of like, hey, you know, cons are happening because people's livelihoods depend on them. So I understand that, I know everything in between. There are some people who I really, really respect on Twitter that are like, hey, I'm going to Gen Con, and if you disagree about going to conventions, I don't want to hear a word. You know, like people know the arguments there. I know everything on both sides. So I'm sure it was a hard decision to go, to run, to not go. But for those of you that did go, I hope you all enjoyed it, and I hope it was fun.
I thought it was good. Yeah, I thought it was done well. Seemed like there was more room in the aisles, which was nice. Like they didn't pack them nearly as tight this year, which was fantastic.
Oh, it was funny. It was funny you said pack them tight, because I actually dropped the original point that I was going to make. There was a photo going around on Twitter, and I don't know if it ever reached trending or not, but I've seen it from more than one source and more than Utah sources. But there was a picture of the main hall.
Mm-hmm.
And this picture of the main hall is, I think it was from the balcony. And it showed the crowd, and about like 90% of the people were wearing masks. Like one out of every 10, they weren't.
Wow.
And there was a guy in full Mando armor next to the sign that says, please wear masks during COVID-19, blah, blah, blah. And it was just really funny because people were commenting like, hey, look, one guy has full body PPE. But people were looking at it as kind of like, hey, this is how variants spring up, which leads to the, you know, the argument of people that say, hey, we shouldn't, con should be the last thing in our minds. Again, I understand the argument. It was like that photo made rounds. So,
mm.
But yeah. So I personally, sorry I missed Fan X, but maybe I'll make it next time. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got the date set aside for next year. So.
Yeah, they. I think last time I ran it was the time they made the decision to run it once a year. They couldn't justify running it twice a year.
And I'm thankful for it just being once a year. Yeah, my wallet is too.
Yeah, because twice a year, it was always hard. Like, because even just getting the Salt Palace is overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
The Salt Palace is incredibly overpriced. And that comes not just from FanX. That also comes from a bunch of other conventions that have gone there. That comes from vendors that I know that do go from con to con because prices change depending on how much it costs for them. I think to even reserve, the Salt Palace for like a period of a weekend is just an insane amount of money. And it's like you're just the Salt Palace. You know, it's not like you're San Diego. It's not like you're a DC convention. And that's not saying FanX. That's Salt Palace. That's Salt Palace business.
Right.
I hear they're overpriced. But that's just what I heard. But yeah, man. Let's talk about some news. I heard there was a Nintendo Direct.
There was. That was just like it was just yesterday. Holy cow! Yeah, yeah. So do you want me to just go through the stuff that I found intriguing? There's a few other things. I marked down that you know we've talked about it briefly before. I believe that the Age of Calamity DLC Part 2 is coming. I believe that's releasing at the end of October.
Age of Calamity is one of those games that I want to play. But I couldn't decide if I wanted to go with like Hyrule Warriors, which I heard is just it's just huge, mm-hmm. or something a little bit more focused like Age of Calamity, or just if I'm going to spend that much money buy like a classic Zelda game
Wind Waker.
Which one is the one that was a Game Boy game that got turned into a Game Boy
Color Link's Awakening.
Yes, Link's Awakening. You know, or get something like that. And everyone has said, just get Link's Awakening. Like, because I've never really played Dynasty Warriors, so I really don't know if I'm going to like Age of Calamity. But DLC coming out, so that's good.
Yeah, the second one. And then I believe as of yesterday, the Mario Golf next round of DLCs out. And I think they added Koopa Trooper was the character being added, and then a few other little things with that.
Did you have you played Mario Golf?
I haven't played it since GameCube. So
I haven't played it since like classic Game Boy days, man.
Was that on classic Game Boy?
Yeah, it was because my grandpa. All right, so funny story about this. My grandpa had a Game Boy. Whenever I used to go spend the night at him and grandma's place. Although I didn't learn till later on in life that who I thought was my grandma wasn't actually my grandma. My grandma had passed away. But then my grandfather just decided to just live with his girlfriend. And so when I called his girlfriend grandma, it like made her heart melt. And apparently it was like a really sweet story. But anyway, she loved me because I called her grandma, even though technically she wasn't even married to my grandpa. But he had a Game Boy and he only owned, I think, like 3 games. One was Tetris. One was this like space game that he got for me and Alex whenever we would come visit, and it was just like a like I don't know if you've ever played like what was it, Gladius? It's like a side scroller space game.
Yep. Yeah, I remember what you're talking about there.
Yeah, but on the Game Boy you were going upbound, not side to side. And then he had Mario Golf. And I had no idea what clubs I was using. I have no idea like how hard I was hitting the ball. I was just trying to get a hole in one. And yeah, so that was the last time I played Mario Golf.
Okay. Now, were you playing the golf on regular Game Boy or Mario Golf on Game Boy Color?
It was just golf
on okay.
your Game Boy.
Okay, I didn't know that one existed. I didn't realize this went back that far. Then there's a Mario Golf on Game Boy Advance, Mario Golf N64, Mario Golf. I think that was Toadstool Tour. Yeah, that's the one I played, was the GameCube one.
Yeah, I didn't actually even know that there were other variations of Mario Golf. So I just thought that was it. I was like, oh, they're bringing an old Game Boy game back. I guess that's par for the course, pun intended.
Yeah, you playing King Bob-omb here? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Did you see the picture I mentioned?
Yeah, I did.
So for everyone who has no idea what we're talking about, which is everyone not in this podcast, there's a picture I have. It was saved on my phone. I was scrolling through. And in fact, the reason why I was delaying my telling of that story was because I was looking for the picture. But it's a picture, and it's I think that's Princess Daisy?
Yeah, it looks like Daisy.
And she's getting ready to golf, right? And so she's in kind of like a squat. And next to her is King Bob-omb, right? And all his character is doing is like he's just waiting for his turn. But because of the way how the game makes it look like his view, he's standing directly behind Daisy, and he's angled just a little bit down, so it looks like he's staring at her squatting ass.
Yep. It's true.
It's really funny. But yeah, so Mario Golf DLC coming out.
I think it's already active. I thought they said it was going to be active at right after the Direct, so.
Yeah, a lot of these things came out right after the Direct, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Castlevania Advance Collection, which we were going to announce later on, and I have words about. That's already released.
Well, that was what I was actually going to talk about next. I didn't even know that was coming, and I was like, "That's awesome!" I want to say I have all three of those here on the Advance or DS, whatever those were on. I think I have all three of them, and I'm like, "That's an awesome collection." Plus, they added Blood X. Is that the one that they added? Yes. There's four.
Yeah, I have played Circle of the Moon, which I thought was a fantastic entry. It's considered to be non-canon. I really liked it. I even when it first came out, I thought that the story, because they weren't called Belmonts, the family, they were called something else, and I think it was a translation problem. But the guy who was the heir of that family, the Belmont family, the non-Belmonts, you don't actually play as him. You play as, like, his sidekick, and the whip chooses the sidekick because it was able to sense that there was, like bad juju in the heir's heart. And he ends up fighting against you. So I thought that was cool. There was, like, a cool magic system where, like, it was cards, because back then everything was card-based. Everyone was trying to go off the hype train of Pokemon. And so the magic system was card-based, but it was a combination of cards that you chose that created the spell. And so that was also pretty cool. But it was just a really good classic side-scroller Castlevania game. I haven't played the other ones.
I played them a little bit. I don't remember if I finished them.
Aria of Sorrow was the one where it was like the last in the Castlevania timeline,
mm-hmm.
I believe. Aria of Sorrow ended up having a sequel to it that's not included in this collection. I forget the final one. There was also Blood X.
Harmony of Dissonance.
Harmony of Dissonance. Is that one? No, that one, I don't think I've played that one either. Blood X was good. It's challenging. It was originally an older Castlevania game before Castlevania even really knew what it was. And that was a level-by-level adventure game.
Yeah, and the nice thing with these, though, is it's on all platforms. Yeah, so you've got Aria of Sorrow, Harmony of Dissonance, Circle of the Moon, and the Blood X.
Yeah.
And it's on PlayStation. I think they're just ROMs, but I think if you get it on PlayStation, it looks like it. They kept the screen ratio, so they have like the background, like the stale background behind it, where there's no screen
yes.
movement.
I do not mind that at all.
That's just, that's a, hey, if you're thinking about picking up, that's what I think, I thought I saw on a screenshot. So if that's just something you hate, you may not want to get it on a next gen console.
That's true.
But hey, $20 for four games, I'm kind of down with that. And if you can get it even cheaper, that's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's available on other platforms. Not the Advanced Collection, but like individual entries. I think you can get, like, if you still have a DS, I think one or two of them may be available. Blood X was actually released. There was a combo pack that Blood X or Rondo of Blood was combined with before. So there is, I know on the PlayStation, Symphony of the Night came paired with Rondo of Blood / Blood X. Right? So if you want to play that version, like I replayed Symphony of the Night a few months ago. And it was fun, but it came with Rondo of Blood. I know that when it came out for the PSP, those games were paired because Blood X and Symphony of the Night are directly related.
Yeah.
Symphony of the Night comes directly after Rondo of Blood and Blood X, so they're often paired together. And they've been paired together on the PSP. They've been paired together on the PlayStation. So it's kind of interesting to see Blood X not paired with Symphony of the Night, but I guess it doesn't really fit the collection.
Yeah. They did start off the show, I believe, with the Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak teaser trailer. I want to call it a teaser, but that's a DLC coming next summer. So there wasn't really much shown there. Just, you know, it was like a dragon, like climbing up the side of a mountain.
I never played any of the Monster Hunter games, and I know I'm missing out, but I hear it's a grind, and it's more fun playing with people, but again, I don't really have people to play with, so.
Right. The last Smash Brothers Ultimate character will be revealed on October 5th, so they'll have a reveal plus gameplay for that, I believe, on October 5th, so. It's been 3 years since Smash Brothers Ultimate came out, they said, so that's just blew my mind.
Yeah, that is crazy.
They showed some gameplay and footage of Kirby the Forgotten Land, which is a new 3D Kirby game, which
also known as Kirby Automata, which for those of you who don't know, that's a joke. Yeah, I'll just keep it there. It was a joke. So there was Nier Automata, which was a 2018 hit sequel to Nier or Nier Replicant. Which itself is, it's a lot to explain, but it doesn't go into Kirby, so. But a lot of the scenes from Kirby the Forgotten Land look like they just got pulled out of Nier Automata, and they just, like, put a cartoon filter over it. So, because, like, there's a scene, there's the buildings that are overlapping each other that look kind of like Last of Us, but look more like Nier to me. And then there is a spot where, like, Kirby's in a mall and there's like an escalator that's covered in moss. That is an exact scene from Nier. So it just looks like it's got the kind of the same imagery going on. But that looks fun. The last Kirby game that I played was the Nintendo 64 one, which was a blast. Which is also is coming out. That's also another thing that there's a slew of Nintendo 64 games that are coming out. And so Kirby 64 is in that batch.
Is it? I couldn't remember. Is it available at launch? I had the list up. I didn't memorize it.
I do not know. I don't know. I didn't watch the Nintendo Direct. I just know that Banjo-Kazooie is coming out for the Switch, which I will probably play again.
Yeah, I want to play that. I mean, I know they released it on the Rare Collection for Xbox, which I don't have, so...
I played Banjo-Kazooie, I was going to say recently, but I think I played it back in 2015, last time I played it. It's just one of those fun games I can pick up anytime and just play. I've never completed Banjo-Tooie, so I hope Banjo-Tooie eventually comes. Arc Razor is, I'm not sure if that's in that, like, Sega collection thing.
Yeah, so... Banjo-Kazooie is not on the list of the launch titles for it. The launch titles are Super Mario 64, Mario Kart 64, Star Fox 64, Yoshi's Story, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, Win Back, Mario Tennis, Dr. Mario 64, and Sin and Punishment. So they did say the others would be added to it eventually. So I'm sure it'll be Banjo-Kazooie was one of the games they did show, but it's like they'll add them like probably one per month. And then, yes, there is the Sega Genesis coming to Nintendo Switch Online. And that will have Castlevania Bloodlines, Contra Hard Corps, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, Echo the Dolphin, Golden Axe, Gunstar Heroes, Musha, Phantasy Star 4, Ristar, Shining Force, Shinobi 3, Return of the Ninja Master, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Streets of Rage 2, and Strider. So what they're doing, they mentioned, so this is actually coming like next month, I want to say, but there's a but. Like, if you're a current subscriber to Switch Online, you won't have access to it. There's a, they're calling this the expansion pack, and they haven't given out pricing or anything yet. So will it be double the cost, or is it just like an extra $5, you know, a year, $10 a year? We don't know yet. So
I know a lot of people that are freaking out about potentially playing Mario Kart 64 multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to have online multiplayer functionality.
Possibly. And they also said that they're going to sell controllers for N64 and Sega wireless controllers. I think they're $50 a pop, though. Mm-hmm. So that'll be nice. So if you don't, that way you get the actual feel of playing N64 games, because they weren't experienced with that awkward controller.
Yeah.
They did show that stuff. So we don't know pricing on that yet. More to come. But that is coming pretty quick here within, I think it's a month to a month and a half. So stay tuned for more on that. Mm-hmm. All right. So one of the early games they talked about that you got excited about in the list is Chocobo GP.
Yeah, let's talk about Chocobo GP. What do you want to talk about? No, okay.
I was like, basically, it's Mario Kart, but Final Fantasy. Okay. And they brought in the Final Fantasy elements of, like, hey, drive through the fire block three times and you'll have Faraga instead of fire.
So it looks like a kind of a carbon copy of Mario Kart for Switch.
Yep.
And to be honest, I mean, like, if I were to choose what I wanted more, Mario Kart for the Switch or Chocobo GP, I would choose Chocobo GPs, and because I'm a fan of that property more. However, I do gotta admit, it looks just like Mario Kart. So they're gonna have to really do something with it to differentiate it from Mario Kart, because I think like 90% of the people that have a Switch have Mario Kart already. So there's a little bit of question. There was a Chocobo racing game back in the PlayStation days. So let's do a little bit of history about this, right? Back in the heyday of Final Fantasy, there was a spin-off series called the Chocobo series. Or I guess that's what I'm calling it, the Chocobo series, because it consisted mainly of a game called Chocobo Dungeon and Chocobo Dungeon 2 and Chocobo Racing. And I think there may have been one more somewhere there in the mix. But the idea was that they took some of the mascots of Final Fantasy and they gave them kind of a really cartoony look. There is the Chocobo, who was also, again, he made a cameo in Final Fantasy 14. And he's a really cartoony looking version. His sidekick, who also simultaneously tries to act like his boss, is Mog. Mog the Moogle. A Moogle is another mascot of Final Fantasy. And so he was in it. They also took some classes from Final Fantasy, like the White Mage, and made them their own character by simply just calling them White Mage. So one of the characters you can play as is the White Mage from the Chocobo series, even though technically there can be a White Mage from Final Fantasy 1, from Final Fantasy 3, any Final Fantasy that had the jobs, that's White Mage from Chocobo. There was also a character that I saw on there called the Behemoth. A Behemoth is a Final Fantasy creature, but he was also cartoonized to fit in the Chocobo Dungeon series. And then it looks like they took other unrelated characters, like Gilgamesh, for example, who was in other Final Fantasy entries, but not in the Chocobo series, and made him cartoony. They, it looks like they also took some characters from Final Fantasy IX, which, for those who don't know, Final Fantasy IX is the more cartoony entry of the Final Fantasy series. So Steiner, I saw he was in it. He's like the knight. Vivi, who was the black mage, he's also in it. But this, seeing this game released gives me some hope for a new Chocobo Dungeon entry. If you ever play Chocobo Dungeon 2, it's super, super, super archaic. Its gameplay resembles the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games. Did you ever play those, Jamie?
I have not tried any of those.
I don't know really how to explain it, but like the majority of the gameplay is you go through a dungeon, and each level you go through in the dungeon, the enemies get harder, and essentially the game is turn-based, so whenever you move a step, everyone in the dungeon moves a step. And every time you attack, any enemies within your vicinity will also move and try to attack you. So it's semi-strategy, semi-dungeon diving, and it's kind of archaic. I kind of just really want to replay it because I really love Chocobo Dungeon 2. So I hope to see that side series pop back in. Especially since Chocobo Racing was a thing.
I remember that. I never played it, but I can
never
recall.
Played it either. It never got... I think the Chocobo off-brand was only really famous in Japan. I'm hoping this shows that they're going to kind of give it, like... Because Final Fantasy was also originally on Nintendo consoles until Final Fantasy VII. And so maybe Square is like, okay, we'll repartner up with Switch, but we're not going to give you our flagship game system. We're going to give you like a spinoff of it, and that kind of fits the persona of Nintendo a little bit more. So I hope that's Chocobo Dungeon because I would get into that. Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, Final Fantasy has got a ton of characters. So there's a lot of, I guess, DLC that they can do. They can expand it. But that's going to be one of the games that I get, I think.
Very cool.
So Chocobo GP, yes, get that.
So Splatoon 3 was also shown. I think they've announced that before, but they've shown a little bit more gameplay with this one. Uh-huh. I'm not a Splatoon guy. I never got into it, so I know some people love it.
Same here.
Then like right before the end too, Miyamoto came out and he, you know, was like, I got a surprise for you guys. I've been working on this a little bit, but they finally announced the Super Mario movie cast, and that the movie, it's gonna be animated, kind of like the Pixar movies, is gonna come out at Christmas next year, so Christmas 2022 in the US. And he gave some casting.
let's talk about the casting really quick. But first off, I just want to throw Luke under the bus and then nosedive under the bus myself. But we have a guilty pleasure of we really like the 90s Super Mario movie. And I know that movie is objectively bad. I know by all accounts it is bad. I mean, like the more than just the movie was bad, the production was bad. There have been essays done about John Leguizamo, who played Luigi in that. Did I say his name right? I hope I did. Who played Luigi, and I forget the name of the guy who played Mario. But I think at one point...
Bob Hoskins?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. At one point, they came to the set slammed drunk, dead behind the eyes, because they just wanted to survive it. So, like, at some point in that movie, they are never sober again. So that's interesting. There was an actual car accident on set. I don't remember the details of it, but there is a scene in the movie where, like, they're in kind of like a car, and they drove it to the side of the set, and I think alcohol was one of the reasons, and someone broke their arm. So there was that. It came out at the same time as Jurassic Park, so they were competing with Jurassic Park, and it was set up so obvious to have a sequel, and it just burned so bad. My Nintendo disowned it. It was, oh man, it's so horrendous, and I don't know why Luke and I love that movie so much. I haven't seen it in years. Maybe I'll watch it when I'm over in Utah. I don't know. But yeah, so the character, so did you ever watch Wreck-It Ralph?
I think that's one of the few I haven't seen of the newer type animated movies.
So this, you know, that Wreck-It Ralph had a bunch of characters from cross genre, cross system consoles, because it was all video game characters, right? And people were like, how did you actually do that? And they were like, well, we just asked the studios. They got Sonic. I think there were some Mario characters, but Mario himself wasn't in the movie. I don't think so. And Wreck-It Ralph taught me that, yeah, it's cool to see them on screen. But unless, I don't know, the Sonic movie, I guess, was a little bit different. But once the novelty wears off, it wears off. So first off, having a completely animated Mario movie, kind of, I think I'll be bored with it after 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, to be honest. But the voice casting, these characters, well, the majority of them already have voice actors, so I don't know why they had to go the Hollywood route. Like, Mario has a voice.
Charles Martinet.
Yeah, he came to GameCon,
mm-hmm,
in Salt Lake City. Yep. My wife met him.
I met him too, with Uncanny Ryab.
Yeah, the dude is a total hippie. He's very much like, you know, peace and love, and hey, I got this job on a whim, and now I just travel, and when they call me to come in and voice some words, I just take some mushrooms, and and I just say stuff. So I'm like, I don't know why he needs Chris Pratt to do Mario. I don't know if Chris Pratt's going to do a stereotypical Italian voice, if he's going to try to imitate how Mario sounds, or if he's just going to sound like Chris Pratt. It's an odd casting choice.
You've got Star-Lord as Mario. Come on, man.
I mean, here's the thing. People don't really like Star-Lord. and they don't like Chris Pratt. People blame the snapping on Star-Lord. So, and Chris Pratt has come out as kind of like a, I don't want to use any offensive terminology, but the dude has essentially come out, not only do I not want to use offensive terminology, I don't want to generalize, some of the things that he has said too much. People don't like Chris Pratt. I'll just say that. People don't like Chris Pratt, which is odd that he's like your main character. Seth Rogen as DK. I mean, that's really funny, I guess. Jack Black as Bowser. I like Jack Black in almost everything. Having him as Bowser will be an interesting choice.
Charlie Day as Luigi.
Yeah, you got, is Tom Holland Yoshi?
I didn't know if they had said who is Yoshi, and if they did, but
that was the fan casting or something.
I just know as soon as they did that, all the memes started from Jurassic World of Chris Pratt, yeah, with the dinosaurs, and that being Yoshi and him Mario.
Yeah. So I'm kind of I'm kind of on the fence about this.
Keegan-Michael Key is Toad. Anya Taylor-Joy is Princess Peach. They have Fred Armisen listed for Cranky Kong. So, yeah, it's going to be... I mean, some of them I was like, okay, I guess I could see it, but I was like, what?
Yeah, and the studio, I'm not super... Like, this is also the same studio that had done, like, Despicable Me and the Minions movie. I was never really a fan of that series, especially Minions. Minions, I felt, was horrible. Kind of odd. I think this is Nintendo being like, okay, I think we've recovered from the 90s movie. Let's go ahead and to see if we can.
Let's give it a go.
Let's give it a go. But yeah, there's that. I don't know. I don't really have too much more to say about that.
Yeah, I agree. So I think there's only one last thing to cover on the Nintendo Direct. So can you guess what it is?
Yeah, Bayonetta, man.
Hootie hoo, Bayonetta. Yeah.
So I've never played the Bayonetta series. I just know that her suit transforms into her hair and she gets more naked as combat progresses. I've heard that it cranks up the craziness up to 11. So I'm interested to see. People also just freak out about her hair. Because each entry she has a different hairstyle, and she had a pixie cut number 2. She had just normal long hair that was put up into like a Marge Simpson braid in number 1. People have also said that this Bayonetta, the hairstyle resembles a minor character from earlier on, and there's some sort of like time twist that occurs with this character. So I don't know. People have been really, really, really excited about Bayonetta 3. And so I think I am going to give the series a shot. It's very Devil May Cry style.
That's what I was going to say. I started it very Devil May Cry-ish. I've just never finished the first game. Mm-hmm. I tried it on Wii U, I want to say, and then on Switch. And I just... Other things come up, so...
Okay.
I mean, what I played, I enjoyed. I mean, it's very, yes, like you said, Devil May Cry. It's very combat heavy. I don't recall her getting, you know, less clothes as it went on. And I thought in the first one, her hair was kind of usually long, not like Marge Simpson style, but I could be wrong. It might depend on the form you take.
Yeah, or what I don't.
Weapons you're using, so.
I don't know very much about it. I do know that, like, as she fights, or like, she does get progressively less clothed. Like, I know that's a thing. Because it was on an episode of Did You Know Gaming, and like there are clips of it happening. And in fact, because it became a Switch exclusive, which is really odd to me, but there that was part of the concern was there was concern about Nintendo because they're more of a family oriented console, that Bayonetta would be a little bit too risque.
Right.
And I guess it just wasn't that big of a problem. So, but yeah, she's got guns in her shoes and a quick time events galore, I guess. All right. So I think we covered the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah. And just right before that, there was the Switch update to allow you to use Bluetooth devices for audio output. That came like a week or two before that. So.
That's
if cool. You weren't aware, that is a feature now.
Yeah. Nice. Which is really weird because that means the hardware for Bluetooth has already been in the system. Like Bluetooth receiving is not simply a software thing.
That right. Means
the Switch has had hardware in it that has not been used. Like a receiver that probably it's for controllers, but like I don't know why they just if all Nintendo Switches had that capability, I don't know why it didn't come earlier. Like the system's old, so eh. But yeah, cool. The PlayStation Direct has also happened since our last recording. There's only one game, or there's very few games that are on it that have kind of like caught my attention. You mentioned a few here.
I knew there was more. Those were just the ones I could think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. Some of the ones that are that aren't listed there that kind of caught my eye was, oh geez, I'm trying to remember the name. A lot of them look good. Looks like there is one that's an isekai. I don't know if you know that term. Isekai basically is an anime term where like you take someone from the modern world and you put them in a fantastical world, and it has video game elements. So there's a game I remember. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but there's this girl and she's taken from like New York and she's put into this fantasy world, and she's like, wait, magic exists, and you actually get like really good with magic. I'm trying to remember what that one was called.
I don't remember the name, but I remember the trailer now that you're talking about it.
That was one. There's another one that was done by a Korean studio that looked really good. That looked kind of like Nier again. And so there's that. I'm right here. Project Eve. Project Eve was the one that's from the Korean studio. And it looks like you control a cyborg. Forspoken. Yeah. Forspoken was the one that's an isekai where like there is a, it's like Life is Strange and Final Fantasy getting together. So yeah, there's that. Then there's Ghostwire Tokyo, which looks like a first person shooter. Some of these, I don't know, like my backlog is already like built all the way up. I have the games I'm looking forward to. So the Nintendo Direct, the PlayStation trailers, not a whole bunch of them caught my eye. Gran Turismo 7 is one that you've listed. Great racing game. I played Gran Turismo 4. I think that was it.
I think the last one I played was 3, maybe 5. They're usually more the realistic games. Like I tend to prefer more like Burnout Paradise, like the Burnout franchise.
Which, Burnout, or is it Wipeout? One of those, it's being turned into a card game. Which is odd. Then we've got Spider-Man 2. I haven't played Spider-Man 1. That's on my playlist. I don't have it yet, but I've heard nothing but great things about it. And it looks like Venom is going to be in it, who is one of my favorite villains of all time. Villain/anti-heroes.
I think they made it something like Kraven as well, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Looks like Miles Morales is also going to be in it.
Correct.
Wolverine,
which was just kind of a teaser. They didn't really have gameplay, just kind of a little short movie for it, which I'm curious to see how bloody and gory they go with it and what they do with it, because total different game mechanics than Spider-Man in my opinion. And
yeah,
it should be, and that's even with Spider-Man 2, I'm curious how gruesome they're gonna go with it, right? Not that I need it full gruesome, but it's Venom, right? So you expect to see some stuff happen, unless they're going to do kind of like old horror where it's kind of off to the side and you don't see it, but you hear it.
Or maybe Venom will be a villain for like the first arc. And then eventually there's going to be a DLC where you play as him as a character.
Or something.
Carnage comes in, or they redo Separation Anxiety, which is one of my favorite Super Nintendo games, which was based off a comic series where Venom tries to get its children under control, all the Carnage children. And so he goes and employs the help of Spider-Man to like help fight the symbiotes, the symbiotic children. And it was just a side-scroller beat-em-up with like some cameos done by like Iron Man, Ghost Rider, Daredevil, and Captain America.
I don't remember that one. The only one I remembered was Maximum Carnage, so...
Yeah, so I mean, maybe Carnage will be in it. I hope we get a DLC character of Venom. That would be
or that'll be the third one, right, or something. So
or one of those, yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna have to eventually play Spider-Man. I think it won Game of the Year at one point. To it.
So those are both Insomniac games. So Insomniac's been busy.
Yeah, they have been. Uncharted 4, Uncharted Lost Legacy. I played Uncharted 1 and 2. Did not play 3. I played like the opening chapters of 4. Lost Legacy.
It's the side story with Chloe Frazier.
Yes.
And so then, those are coming as a bundle because they already did 1, 2, and 3, and then they're doing these two is what it sounded like. So I think it's going to be on PS5 and PC.
Yeah. And then we've got God of War Ragnarok, which I'm so excited about. I will play, I have committed to playing through all the God of War games. I've only ever played God of War 1 and started God of War 2. Never finished 2, skipped 3. I played the last God of War so many times. So I kind of want to go through like the old Greek saga and then replay the last God of War, because Ragnarok isn't going to come out for what, like a year and a half?
It's sometime next year currently, so.
Yeah, so we got so a while for that.
A year to a year and three months.
Mm-hmm. And the racist gamers came out of the woodwork again. Because there is a character from Norse mythology who is black, and the character looks fantastic, and she looks really good, but she's a prominent member of Norse mythology, and people are all like, well, there wasn't any like dark-skinned characters in Norse mythology. Well, I've also seen videos of people who actually like gave their takes, and they're like, there were dark-skinned Norsemen, but they were not really written in the history, because racism also kind of existed back then too, right? So it's a moot point.
Mm-hmm.
Like seriously, just show your entire ass when you say things like that. Just don't play the game if you're that upset because the appearance of a black person on the screen bugs you that much. No one needs you in their lives. You can go away out of your anger and protest the game. Fine, whatever. But yeah, it looks amazing. That character looks amazing.
Thor
is a strong man. And by strongman, I mean he's got a big beer gut, which I hear is close to Norse mythology, the depiction of him. So I'm excited that we're going to be fighting a non-Marvel character. It's not Marvel. That was just a joke on Chris Hemsworth, but yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah, the gameplay looked cool. They showed some stuff there. And then even you mentioned like Gaming Con, and that's where they also had, you know, Chris Judge and
Danielle Bassuti.
Yep, because I met both of those there, and the dude who played the son in the first game.
Yes,
Atreus. He was there. No, not Atreus. The other one, the bad guy.
Oh, the son of Odin, Balder.
Yeah, Balder. I was gonna say I thought it was Balder. Yeah, they were all like great to talk to, and I mean this was that 2018? I want to say.
Yes.
Gosh, and 18 or, yeah, gosh, I swear it was 18. And they were all like, yeah, there's stuff coming. And here we are in 2021. And we're like, where is it? Like, because we were like, it shouldn't take that long, right? You guys already kind of built the world. Like,
well, it's a funny story. So the question was asked, like, is there going to be a third game in the Norse saga for God of War? Because the original God of War series was 3 games. Not only that, but there were 2 spin-off games.
Correct.
All involved in Greek mythology. So people were like, is there going to be a third game? And the answer was no. It was explained that it would just take way too long to make, because already we are 5 years separated from the last God of War game. So if you were to include a third one, that would be 15 years of production and 10 years for a series of 3 games, because games are not easy to make. You can't crank games out as fast as you could in earlier systems. So they were saying like that's too long. They said that originally when they were drafting up the story, they were considering 3 games, but then as they started production for the second game, they decided that they could take all the story elements that they wanted and put it into just one game instead of, you know, a three-game series. They figure they can fit it into two series. And then this, the Norse saga will end. I hope that once the Norse saga ends, they will say, you know what, God of War is successful enough. We'll go to, like, the land of Egypt. Or we'll check out other mythologies. I'm just really excited for it. But that's going to be a great game.
Yeah. So those were the big games I could recall from, you know, PlayStation Direct. I know there's a few others and stuff that's been kind of moved, and we know Horizon Forbidden West is now coming in February, but I don't think they added too much to it because we know it's coming soon. I believe they talked a little bit more about Gran Turismo 7 because I think that's March next year.
Yeah.
So they were just kind of more highlighting what's coming a little bit sooner and giving a little bit more of. And Spider-Man 2, I think, is 2023, so... They gave a glimpse, kind of the teaser trailer, just like, this is what we're working on. Just wait. So that's what we had for those.
We just got two really quick news stories, and then we'll go into the games that we were playing.
Yeah, so what's the latest on this Activision Blizzard stuff that's been going on, man? You're like usually keeping up on this.
So I love it when giant corporations that do shitty things to people get in trouble. And Activision Blizzard is just on the top of my list, man. As everyone knows, there have been three lawsuits against Activision Blizzard. This is old news. The first lawsuit, the original one that set off everything... was Blizzard, you discriminate against women. And Blizzard was like, no, we don't. We are disavowing this. And then and then they were like, and then the worker said, no, you are wrong. And we have evidence of you are wrong. And we've got videos from past cons that show that you are wrong. And then they said, wait, sorry, this came across as tone deaf. We're sorry, we said these things based on legal counsel, and we ended up losing our voice. Tell you what, we are going to hire a law firm to review our practices. And then people are like, that law firm is a union buster, so you're wrong again. And so the next lawsuit was... from the coalition people that basically assembled in response to the first lawsuit in order to protect their employees. So that organization has sued Activision Blizzard. And then there's another lawsuit that's happening in the background that I haven't heard anything else about. It was investors suing Activision Blizzard because these knowledge of the investigation that has been going on for 2 years in Activision, which was known to Activision, was not shared with investors, and investors claimed that they were artificially building up value of their stock because they did not come forward honestly about the investigations or even what the investigations were about. Everyone found out about it at the same time in June. So investors are suing Activision Blizzard. So that's three lawsuits. And now there is a subpoena, which is not exactly a lawsuit. It is the way how I understand it. And if we have any legal experts that for some reason listen to our podcast, first off, hey. Second, if I'm correct, a subpoena is basically a summons to court. It's not necessarily you are on trial for something. It means that a judge wants to see something or see you for some reason in a court setting. And so basically, the SEC, which is the Securities Exchange Commission, wants to investigate how the company has treated complaints of sexual misconduct. And so, therefore, has subpoenaed senior executives, including Bobby Kotick, for evidence, including their emails over the past couple of years. Basically to say, like, okay, these complaints have been going on. We want to see the actions that you took over the past 2 years. This is an action by the courts in the discovery phase of the lawsuit. So this is a judge saying, okay, you guys are contesting this lawsuit. We need you to bring forth evidence that shows you are contesting it. And the lack of evidence that shows you are contesting it is evidence to the opposite side. So the more you bring, the better it is for you. So bring it. So it is a subpoena. So this is the fourth legal action against them this year. My brother and I have bets on if they're going to have a fifth one or not by December. I hope there is. I really do. It's gotten so bad to the point where it's so bad, Jamie, that the studio that made Diablo II Resurrected, which came out yesterday or today, has said, "Hey, do what you think is right when it comes to buying our game." Right? That's insane because, like, first off, this is Activision Blizzard is saying, "Oh yeah, we made Diablo 2." No, they did it. It was a different studio under the Activision umbrella, sure, but it was not Blizzard that made Diablo 2 Resurrected. They got another studio to do it for them. Now, because Blizzard does the things that it does, the contract they probably drafted up was a fixed firm price contract. Those of you who have never worked with contracts, especially government ones, this isn't a government one, but the government tends to be like the staple of these types of things. Fixed firm price contracts or fixed firm price with incentive contracts tend to protect the buyer, Blizzard, and put a lot of responsibility on the seller, the studio making Diablo 2. However, in this case, it bites Blizzard in the ass because the studio, if that's the case, they have already received their money. And if it's an incentive, yeah, they're going to do well based on sales. Like, they'll get like a portion of their sales or a portion of the revenue based on sales. But basically, Blizzard would have just said, "Okay, make us a game. This is exactly what you are getting, despite how long it takes, despite your resources, despite how many people work overtime for it. This is how much we are paying, and you are to deliver a product." So, If that is the case, and which I'm assuming it is, the studio has already gotten most, if not all, of its money that it's going to make from Diablo 2 because Blizzard has already paid them. So what they're saying to people is, do what you think is right when it comes to buying our game. And that is a statement that would only ever hurt Blizzard. It wouldn't necessarily hurt them unless Activision thinks like, "Hey, what are you trying to do? Throw our own like studios and companies under the bus? We're not going to give you that much more work." That would be the only time when it would hurt them. However, because Activision Blizzard is under such an intense spotlight right now, any type of retaliation could come out in the open, right? Diablo 2 Resurrected creator is saying, "We're not going to hold it against you if you don't buy our game." That's how insane this is. Mm-hmm. That studios are actually saying, "Hey, you don't have to actually buy our game." That's how. So anyway, there's my rant. So yeah, that's happening. And then the next story. Do you have any more to say on that or to add on to it?
I think you covered it, man. Oh man, it's just crazy that that's going on. Like, I still like just knowing like the amount of training and stuff that probably you and I have to go through yearly, that say like all the crap that company does like is not allowed at our companies, because like I'm sure like, right, you have a ton of training to do, like I do every year, about ethics unconscious bias training and all this, and you're just like, This place, it actually exists. And I'm like, okay, so maybe this is why we have to do this training every year.
Yeah, so. it is. And that's the weird thing, too, is it manifests in so many ways. Just recently, there was an article that it wasn't really trying to say anything other than the fact that, like, hey, there are some spots in World of Warcraft that have suddenly changed because it reflected the sexist past that it had. There are two paintings in World of Warcraft. Paintings, right? Like, this is something that in order for you to have noticed, you had to move your character into position and you have to kind of angle your camera to look at these paintings, right? World of Warcraft's not the game to really go and like admire old content scenery. Because it looks kind of ugly in some older content. But in some locations of older content, there was one picture that showed like a belly dancer kind of like, you know, scantily clad laying on a bed.
Mm-hmm.
That painting was changed to fruit, a bowl of fruit. and it was done very silently. It was only like a flat, probably PNG file that they just swapped out. And there was another painting that you can tell that the old one is lower resolution and the new one's higher resolution. And it's done by different artists because the face structure is different. But it's mostly the portrait of a character. The old one had like this curvaceous, like low-cut dress wearing prominent figure in lore history for World of Warcraft. And it got silently changed to something that I would say reflects current WoW character styles, but it also simultaneously like covers up the boobs, covers up like some skin, and it kind of like makes it less from like something to stare at, you know, to something that's just kind of more in the background. So like it's the evidence is everywhere of how Activision Blizzard viewed women in general. And these silent changes are happening. It's just a ball of fire over there at Blizzard. I don't think anyone really wants to work there anymore. High prominent people, the head legal guy just bailed. The chief of all legal stuff for Blizzard Activision Blizzard just bailed. The head director for Overwatch 2, he bailed. Which Overwatch 2 people don't think really exists, but like apparently it's coming out soon. And people were saying, or I guess Activision Blizzard was saying, like, oh yeah, it's almost done. The fact that he left is just evidence that it is almost done. Really, he left at the same time as the head legal guy. Like your legal team is probably like freaking out. They just hired a new head of HR that worked at Disney to handle a lot. There's just so much moving on, so much. Anyway, that's enough of Activision Blizzard.
Yeah, you had something you wanted to chat about with Epic and Apple, right?
Yeah, I didn't realize it was going to take me an hour and 7 minutes to get to this point. I honestly didn't have very much news.
Well, we chatted for like a few minutes in the beginning, and then we spent a little bit of time on the direct. So
yeah, but I'll just pass over the story really quick. Epic is continuing to lose against Apple. So Epic sued Apple because the story up to this point is that Epic had Fortnite on iOS devices, and Apple would take a cut of all profits, specifically 30%, and Epic wanted to pick a fight with Apple, and they thought that they would get the public backing because Epic tries to frame itself as, hey, we are doing this for the gamers, when in reality they're just a scummy. And so that what they would do is they would give users a method to make purchases on Fortnite through the app instead of through the Apple Store. They would circumvent Apple entirely. And Apple was like, nope, we're not tolerating this. You have to go through our store. Shuts Fortnite down. Then Epic sues. Epic thought it was going to come out on top. However, it turned out to be really bad for both companies. For Epic, they lost all counts of the lawsuit. It was in violation of its own contract. And because Apple normally gains 30% of all revenue, they have to pay 30% of the gained revenue from the implementation of in-app purchasing during that time, which ends up being like millions and millions of dollars. I don't know how much of Epic's wallet that is. It did win on one point, though, which is that Apple needs to allow other apps to present purchasing options through the apps instead of through Apple, right? So that's a huge blow for Apple because now all other apps and app developers have to do is if they want that 30% back, they can now implement it through their own apps. Apple cannot restrict them from doing so. So both companies lost big. It was not by any means a complete victory.
So the way for Apple to make a ton of money would be to, like, you give me an Apple gift card and I use it to purchase things for that game. They would get the revenue, I'm guessing. But if I just went into the game and the game this one being an Epic game, and it's just like in the app, and I go buy the $5 pack or whatever.
Yeah,
then Apple doesn't get any cut of that. Is that what they're now saying?
Essentially, yeah. Because before, I don't own Mac products or Apple. I think Apple is just a really crappy company, and I know a lot of people will just fling tomatoes at me for saying that. But Apple, essentially, before, you had to go through them to make any types of purchases on whatever apps or games that you own on a Mac, for example, or on your phone. And since this lawsuit came out, it's been ruled that Apple can no longer do that. So if they have an app or a program that you can download, you can go through that program to be hyperlinked to a website, for example. Be like, oh yeah, now you can make purchases directly on our site or directly through the app, which means Apple is now going to lose that 30% share of all their apps and programs. So it's a big loss for Apple, but Epic didn't come out on top. They've lost every single count except that one. So anyway, that's the story up to this point. Here is the thing. Apple has removed Fortnite from the store. Epic just thought, when this is all over, we'll put the app back on the store. No hurt feelings, right? And no, hell no. Apple's like, we're not going to put Fortnite back up on the store because Epic is appealing the rulings, and appeals can take up to 5 years. And Apple's like, you know what? No, because you are appealing. We are still in legal action. You are not allowed to put Fortnite on any iOS devices, computers, phones, whatever. And Epic's like, but come on, we're buddy buddies, right? Apple's like, no, not until this is all done. So Epic is continuing to lose really big because there's a whole section of their player base they can no longer engage with. They can't even, like, Apple is not even allowing people who have Fortnite on their devices to update. So they're stuck with old versions from when this whole lawsuit thing started. So Epic is like, oh, shoot, maybe this was not really a good idea. it's just, I mean, I'm glad that Epic made this blow against Apple, but it wasn't on our behalf by any means. Epic was trying to pick a fight and they lost, and they were trying to frame it as we're doing it for you gamers. And no, they weren't. And so screw Epic. I don't care, but they're continuing to lose and they're dumb.
They're just dumb.
They're stupid. Just absolutely bonkers stupid.
Well, you've been talking, but what have you been playing recently, though? Let's probably wrap this up and get out of here. Let's wrap this up
really quick, yeah. Playing recently, so for my D&D listeners, hi. I'm doing a few campaigns. Curse of Strahd is continuing. Which I'm doing a modified Curse of Strahd, and I can't tell how I am modifying it because half of my players also listen to this podcast, so I can't say exactly how I'm modifying it, but it's a heavily, heavily modified version of Curse of Strahd. So I'm doing that. Also, Waterdeep, the Dragon Heist, doing that, which is another module that is really fun, and a Theros campaign, which is a Magic the Gathering setting. So that's what I'm playing in terms of tabletop. For video games, I am almost done with Battletech 2018. If you remember, a long time ago, we talked about it. It's done by Paradox Interactive. It's kind of a sleeper hit because Battletech has lore that has been built up since the 80s, pre-collapse of the Soviet Union. Like, it's an old series that's full of lore, and I'm almost done with 2018's Battletech game. I put it on the rest, and now I'm almost done with it. I'm switching off between that and Mass Effect, and that's almost done. I think I only have a couple more missions left, and it should be completed. My goal is to finish it before I go to Utah, and then I have been making progress on Yakuza 4, and I just downloaded Bayonetta 1, so that's what I've been playing. How about you?
I think I finished Harry Potter 2, the years 5 through 8, they called it after our last recording. So I got my platinum in that. And then after that, I have started streaming Horizon Zero Dawn again. And that's mostly where my downtime of gaming has been. I also did play the Tales of Arise demo, and I really liked it. I do enjoy the Tales games, so I did try the demo of the newest one that just came out. Was that last weekend? I think so. But yeah, I enjoyed the demo. I thought they did a good job with it. So I'm looking forward to playing Tales of Arise, and the demo was fun.
Cool. Nice, man.
Yeah, getting ready for Metroid Dread. That's just 2 weeks away. So, man, when they said October, I was like, that's so far away. And now I'm like, where did summer go? And how is it like already here?
I am so happy that autumn is here. Like,
yes.
That's so great. I love summer. It's my favorite season, but I'm really excited for this particular autumn. So, anyways. I think we are going to end it there. We are an hour and 15 minutes.
That's not bad.
Not bad. We've gone longer. So, but still, like, it's not exactly on the longer end. But hey, Captain Platinum, what's that thing that we always say?
Hey, man, everybody should game harder this next week.
Awesome. Yep, game harder. And we will talk to you guys later.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
Somewhere in a movie studio corporate boardroom. Okay, pitch me something good, see?
All right, there's a war. It's in the stars. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
That would never work. Next.
All right, so there's an alcoholic tech billionaire, and he's captured by terrorists, builds himself a robot suit to escape, then goes on adventures saving the world with Norse gods and unfrozen World War II superhero.
Boo! Next!
Alright, right. This unknown boxer from Philly takes on the champ. Inspirational sports movie.
Not woke enough.
Okay. How about a podcast about movie franchises, how they get made, and whether the movies hold up or not?
Go on.
And we review the movies and talk about them?
I can put that on a lunchbox, and we'll call it Kiss Your Franchise Goodbye. It's the best idea I ever had.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Brooke.
And I'm Andy. Subscribe to Kiss Your Franchise Goodbye on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening now.
Join us every week along with special guests to discuss some of our favorite movie franchises and why the world seems to revolve around them.
Through November, we're discussing the films surrounding James Bond in a miniseries we're calling On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast.
Not just Bond, also Bond-adjacent movies like Austin Powers, Top Secret, unofficial Rogue Bond movies.
Atomic Blonde, The Rock, and some of these will be exclusive to GNN Network subscribers.
Join us with new episodes at the beginning of most weeks, barring any problems with our spy gear.
You expect me to podcast?
No, Bond. I expect you to
kiss your franchise goodbye.
This show is part of the Geek Nerd Network.
Geek Nerd Network.
Find more shows like it at geeknerdnetwork.com.
This is GNN.